frustrated, and yet at the same time, the past 12 months and the past 21 months have brought psychiatrists and psychologists to define the state of human existence with one word: languishing. Languishing. People feel anxiety, people feel fear, people feel uncertainty, people feel heaviness, but to sum it all up, people feel like they're languishing. Have you sensed that over the past year? 2 years? There's a sense of a heaviness, a burden on our souls, a weariness in our hearts. We are the weary, and yet we're here rejoicing. We're excited about what we know is true in Jesus Christ, and yet at the same time, in our hearts, we feel a heaviness. Do you agree with that? It's okay to be honest. And we're not the first ones to feel that way. My eyes trace through the familiar passages in Luke chapter 2. Most of you are probably familiar with those scenes of Mary and Joseph, their entrance into Bethlehem, not finding room in the inn, and they go on the outskirts of this little village into what would be really kind of a hollowed out cave, not a picturesque manger scene as we're accustomed to see with our 21st century eyes. And there Jesus was born, the Savior of the world, and he's announced by angelic hosts to the shepherds out in the field, glad tidings of great joy, which will be for all people, everyone. And yet at that time in Jewish history was a languishing, was a heaviness, was a weariness of the soul. The Roman oppressors had been ruling over the land, and the heavy weight of taxation, oppression was common. And the young, old men and women, young men were enlisted, conscripted into the military. All kinds of pressures pushing against them. And there in that setting, in the weariness, we find this announcement. There's glad tidings of great joy for all the people. But then on the eighth day, Joseph and Mary take Jesus to the temple for presentation. And on the eighth day, a young Jewish boy who would have been circumcised. And there we find two individuals, Simeon and Anna. These are stories that sometimes we don't get to on Christmas celebrations because we stop at the shepherds and the cradle and the manger scene. But Simeon and Anna were elderly people, a man and a woman there who ministered in the temple day after day after day, and they were in languishing. They were holding on to hope because they believed God, that God's promises were true, that God could be trusted, and yet everything around them and their circumstances was heavy, was weary. And so in Luke chapter 2, I want us to pay attention to these phrases starting in verses 25 and following. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. That is, when shalom, peace, would rule over Israel once again. That Israel's wounds would be mended. That Israel's tears would be wiped away. That the heaviness of the soul would find a healing balm of grace. That is what the word consolation means. That God would console his people. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. This man, Simeon, elderly, faithful to God, faithful to God's promises. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, that is, the Messiah, the one prophesied, the one foretold hundreds of years before, who would come to save his people. In verse 27, it says, "And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus..." And the name Jesus, Yahshua, means God saves. God saves. "To carry out for him the custom of the law. And then he took him," this is Simeon, "took Jesus into his arms and blessed God, gave thanks to God, worshiped God on the spot and said, 'Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. I don't just believe in the words from the prophets of old. I believe and I've seen the one whose name means God saves. Can you imagine that? All these years he's been waiting, hoping, yet languishing the weariness that he sees all around him. Verse 31, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. And then he quotes a passage from Isaiah chapter 42. He says this, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and a glory to your people Israel. So it wouldn't just be for national Jews. This would be for the whole world. Simeon believes and he sees that God is about something that's global for everyone, everywhere. Grace upon everybody. And his father and mother, Jesus' father and mother, were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Already alluding to his sacrificial atoning death on the cross. Jesus was swaddled in cloths that were a sign of what was to come. They were actually the cloths where they would wrap up infant lambs who would be carried, young lambs would be carried to the temple for sacrifice. He was wrapped in those same swaddling cloths. Symbolic, we look back on this and the story unfolds that Jesus' birth already points to his atoning death for the sins of mankind because he is God saves on the spot. So that's Simeon, weary, heavy, languishing, yet hopeful, believing in the promises of God. And over the last 21, 22 months, you're getting tired of me saying that, right, Mayfair folk? You who are guests, I'm sorry. But it's been a hard couple years. And we believe, we're hopeful, but that doesn't stop the tears from falling, does it? That doesn't stop the heaviness and weariness in our hearts. The languishing in our prayers. And then we introduce here to a woman, Anna. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage, which means she's been widowed for decade after decade after decade now, alone. And then as a widow to the age of 84, it says in verse 37, she never left the temple serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him, that is of Jesus, to all those who were looking for the redemption of Israel. See, Simeon was looking for the consolation of Israel. Anna, another synonym of the phrase, the redemption of Israel, that Israel would experience all things made new, brought out of the slavery of Roman oppression. You have freedom and the truth and the promises of God. And she proclaims, this is the one we've been waiting for. An old man and an old woman. Now I want to introduce you to another person, a young lady named Johnny. Johnny, when she was a young girl, loved to race horses. You'll see a picture of her leaping over a fence, riding her horse. And she loved to paint and draw pictures. You see another picture of her doing that. She loved to swim and racquetball and tennis, lacrosse, athletic, musical. And when she was not even yet 18 years old, she dove and hit her head, and she was paralyzed from the neck down as a young girl with her whole life in front of her. And you know this woman, most of you, Johnny Erickson Tada. But she's incredibly honest about the languishing, about the fear, about the heaviness, the weariness that still weighs on her heart. She laid in that hospital room in traction and all kinds of treatments, and they were trying to restore functionality to her limbs with no avail. And she's lived for the rest of her life paralyzed, quadriplegic, unable to move anything but her face. And she shares how even in her weariness, she can move to rejoicing, joyfulness. Why? Because she's holding on to the promises of God. And she believes that God's promises are true and that God can be trusted no matter what life has brought her or will bring her. That God is sovereign in his kindness. And through her story, God's story of grace through Johnny Erickson Tata, she brings hope to people who feel like they're hopeless every day. This year, she rendered a painting. You see, she learned how to paint using just her mouth. Can you imagine that? Unable to move her hands or arms, she puts the brush in her mouth, and with her teeth, she moves it up and down. Here's a picture now of what she looks like. We got a chance to meet her at a camp for special needs kids a few years back. Well, this year, she painted a rendering of the three wise men on a starry night, inspired, she said, by Vincent van Gogh's Starry Night. Can you look at that? And she did that with a paintbrush in her mouth. Now, I couldn't even get anywhere close with two hands and my whole, you know, nowhere near that. It's amazing the talent, but the gift of God's grace through her, because she's put her trust in God. Today, you may feel weary and heavy. I have felt un-Christmassy over the last several weeks. Can I get an amen? And I love Christmas! And yet, it's just felt heavy and not like normal, because it's not normal. And Jesus showed up in a setting not normal, in oppression and weariness and heaviness of soul, to bring redemption, to bring consolation, and the promise that he can do extraordinary things of grace to anybody. And he offers forgiveness to everyone who comes and believes that this Jesus is the Savior of the world. So I put my thoughts to poem, as I want to do around Christmas time, and I wrote a little piece called Weary. Want to hear it? How can we be filled with Christmas cheer when our eyes are welling up with tears? Our hearts are aching from loved ones dying. Our minds are racing with COVID news recycling. Our minds are breaking under the weight of societal dividing, cities rioting, and politicians lying. Shelves emptying, fuel prices rising, inflation skyrocketing. Who could possibly be rejoicing as our world deteriorates into more screaming and fighting? We've buried too many, yet the hospitals say COVID cases keep climbing. Who else would be taken today? Help wanted, shopkeepers shout with their colorful signs, yet few workers are found amid all the fear, uncertainty, and doubt. 2020 is gone, never to be heard from again. Hooray, we proclaimed at the dawn of the year 21. Yet the tidal wave of pain left us languishing on Depression Lane. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. The favored carol is chiming. Once distant ideas of darkness long ago now stare us in the face with present realities we cannot forgo. We are the weary ones, tired of cliches, delays, and fickle hoorays. When the words don't come, and when everything feels numb, when tears fall and hands tremble and our capacities no longer keep us stable, help. Help, we whisper through choked, dry throats. Why? We shout into the heavens with dissonant notes. But then we hear a baby's cry and remember a dark night when glad tidings of joy pierce the sky. God's people, long oppressed, longed for light. Joseph and Mary, the angel said, would have a son who'd bring peace, salvation, and life. For shepherds and laborers, fishermen and farmers, priests and kings, and everybody in between, the news broke through the shadowlands into the hearts of an old woman and man. Simeon, wearied, wrinkled, and worn from many years of seeing Israel torn, held the hope of the world oft forlorn. He saw Israel's consolation, God's salvation, the light of revelation to people from every nation. Long-widowed Anna, warm memories of her husband grew distant and cold, yet her heart was steadfastly holding to hope. And there in the temple, she waited and prayed until that same day when she beheld the face of redemption and all her fears were assuaged. The prophetess proclaimed, "Joy for the weary! God is writing a healing, redeeming story. We are the weary." The world viciously spins on in this dark night, but the song of joy has not ceased. There is light. You and I may experience his life. Step out of the cold, wearied isolation. Look upon the face of salvation. Hold on to him for consolation. For a Savior was born to rescue us from all our shame and fear and condemnation. We're invited to fall on our knees to remember that night divine. For our redemption draws nigh. In him we discover a new joy within our hearts through the forgiveness and new life that he alone imparts. And so Simeon said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles." That's you and me. "And the glory of your people, Israel." The good news of God is for you, your weary hearts, your longing souls. You, me, broken by sin, corrupted in our very nature, needing to be mended, needing to be redeemed, needing to be made whole. Peter, one of the followers of Jesus, said, "Christ died for sins, once for all, the just one for the unjust," that's you and me, "so that he might bring us to God." Some of you maybe have come here tonight because you're with family or because it's the holiday season and you don't know personally Jesus as the Savior, your Savior. And we want you to know that God is inviting you. I'm not inviting you. God invites you from his very heart of love. He is opening up his arms and he's saying, "Come, come and believe, come and receive the Savior of the world." Because the Savior has come to save his people from their sins. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads with me for a moment and think about how God's grace opened up the eyes of an old man, Simeon, an old woman, Anna, and a young woman named Joni. How God transformed Johnny Erickson Tada into a proclaimer of the good news because she had been a recipient of the good news. And now what about you? Do you know Jesus? Go and tell. Do you know Jesus? Does he know you? If the answer to that question is fuzzy, is unsure, you can take the step that my 5-year-old son took last night. To say yes to Jesus, to believe and receive him, forgiveness of all your fear, guilt, and shame, and receive faith, hope, and love through his grace. God is inviting you today to turn to him and receive the gift of Christmas. For his first arriving points to his second coming. The first advent is proof of the second, that the Savior of the world is coming again. He'll come to judge the living and the dead and establish his glorious kingdom on the earth. And when he does so, it will be joy to the world because all our tears will be wiped away and the former things will be passed away and all things will be made new. Do you know him? Don't wait another day. Today is the day of salvation. Receive Christ the Lord. So as you bow with me and we close our eyes to focus in, that's why we do this at church. We want to focus our mind's attention, our heart's affection on God, and we pray together. Lord, I pray for these friends, these neighbors, family members, that if there's anybody here tonight who has never received the gift of salvation, that you would draw them to take that step tonight. And I pray for all of us who are in languishing, feeling the heaviness of losing loved ones. We don't want to look at the reports from the hospitals anymore. Lord, it's too much. Lord, extend to us your healing balm of grace through Christ. Instill in us the hope, the eyes of faith as Simeon and Anna of old, of Johnny, that you're doing something that if we saw the whole unfolding, we wouldn't even believe it. It's so beyond our imagination. Strengthen our resolve and move us from weary to rejoicing tonight. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.